The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security. Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and encourages you to change your core beliefs to make your life better. If you are ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, what would you think if I told you you're missing out on one of the greatest booms in financial history, and you're just sitting there waiting, listening to the show day in and day out, over and over again, try to decide if this is something that really works for you. It's interesting. I get hundreds of emails and sign up hundreds of people in our program and talk to hundreds of people that we've signed up. It's always the same story. There's dissatisfaction in your life. There is looking for things. There's finding this type of thing. There's weeding through all the non-real real estate investor programs, the fake ones and the weak ones and the poor ones. And then there's finding lifestyles through a friend or the radio shows. It's listening to us for a week, for some people, a month for other people, some people, 2 or 3 months, and then finally realizing that this is something you've never seen before, never heard of before. And then when you start hearing the case studies on TellDell, or you go to our website and watch the case studies and videos that are on the website, it hits you. This is something you at least have to look into. Then you decide to go to one of the workshops, and you're amazed at how honest and straightforward it is, with no pressure to join up or buy anything, just simply informationally based way to change your life. And then you do it. And once you do it, you look back and go, I don't know why I didn't do that before. I wish I hadn't waited 10 years. I wish I hadn't waited 5 or even 1 or even 3 months. I wish I would have got started then. And looking back at this over and over and over, hundreds and hundreds of times, each year, as I help people, it always saddens me. People missed out on situations. So when we had this incredible foreclosure series, people missed out on the opportunity to buy real estate at 50 cents on the dollar. Now, while real estate is skyrocketing and rents are going up at unheard of rates, people are missing out on this type of rent growth, which in the apartment business creates value growth. And they're not a part of it. Now, that's sad. But for the rest of you that didn't make that mistake, or actually with us doing this, boy, have I got some news for you. We are tearing it up. The report I have for you is going to blow your mind. And in addition to that, we have some legal breakthroughs that are just incredible. So I'm going to share those later on the show today also. I've got emails. Boy, do I got emails. I've got them so deep, I can't even get through them all. Keep them coming, but you know, I got behind and I'm trying to get caught back up, and today and tomorrow we'll nail some of those also. But let's start today with this article. This article is unbelievable. It states U.S. apartment rents surge again in toppling April's record. U.S. apartment rents rates jumped 6.5% in May of 2015, breaking the previous high for this cycle set just 1 month earlier. Momentum has seen in rents in both new residents and renewing renters, up 8.4% on new leases and 5.1% on renewals in the May numbers. These numbers mark 3 straight months of better than expected rents increases. The results have been especially surprising because the widespread industry expectations of slowing rent growth in 2015 due to affordable barriers, amongst other factors. So here's where we've got. People believe and have believed, maybe still believe, that we're hitting the peak of what people can afford to pay for rents. But that's just not true. What's happening is people don't want to live in houses anymore. And instead of having a McMansion house, people are going to apartment complexes, nicer and nicer apartment complexes, because it's just easier. And I did a show a few weeks back, and if you haven't listened to that show, you need to listen to it, about the Black Swan effect. And here we go now. It's a perfect example of what's happening in the Black Swan event. You see, it had been thought that in 2015 rents would go down. And if rents went down, you would finally have the investors stop buying real estate. But it didn't happen. Rents continue to go up. People continue to try to buy more real estate. And homeownership is going down and continuing to go down. Now, this story, I've told this story many times before, but what I'm trying to show you is I've been saying the same story now for months. And you have to realize how powerful this story is. It's changing the entire demographics of this country. No longer will you see city street after city street, suburb street after suburb street of people filling houses with more and more of them wanting more houses and their kids growing up to want houses. You're seeing a decline in home ownership and an increase in rental. So why is this so important? Well, it's important because the rental rates are going up at such radically fast rates. It's been going up. I'm looking at a chart right here, and rental rates have gone up every single month, every quarter since 2010. Now, it's really important to understand what we're talking about. And here's a little definition. Rent growth numbers are based on lease over lease change. In other words, leases in May of 2015 were signed at rates 6.5% higher on average than the previous rents for the exact same units. Lease over lease movement is the truest measure of rent growth, capturing signed leases for both new residents and renewing renters on the same store set of units. Traditionally, survey methods provide insight only into asking rents, inclusive of concessions for new leases regardless of whether anyone's signing lease. In other words, if you go out there and you ask landlords what their rents are, or if you survey the market, go out and do a market survey, you're getting numbers that people are asking for. But this report right here is something completely different. This is a report about what people are actually signing leases on. And a 6.6% increase in May is higher than April, is higher, you know, than March. What you're seeing is that not only are rents getting higher, they're getting higher faster, month over month, year over year. Now, when rents continue to go up, investors are going to continue to want to buy real estate. In fact, I have someone trying to buy every single one of my 7 apartment complexes right now. Literally, we have people touring our apartments, making us offers. And quite honestly, because of where I'm at financially, I may sell and then sit around and wait for a deal and try to rebuy back into the market because they're giving me double what I paid for these things, triple what I paid for them. Yet, they're still cash flowing. They're cash flowing in radical amounts. And so you look at this situation, you think, where does this all end? And the answer is nowhere soon. Nowhere soon, because builders aren't building and buyers aren't buying houses. But tenants are willing to pay more and more rent. Now, they keep talking about people can't afford the affordability. I think you need to look at the rents in expensive parts of the country and see that people are paying $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, and $5,000 a month to rent. And then you come back and look at middle America, you know, the Corn Belt, the places where most people live, and you'll see that rents are very, very low. The average rent in Houston is probably $1,200 a month for a house, $1,200 to $1,500 a month, and around anywhere around $1,000 a month average for an apartment. That's nothing compared to these big cities. So I think there's still lots of growth potential because people aren't making that much more money out in California anymore than they are in Texas. Cost of living is almost the same, but the cost of housing is double in the West Coast than what it is here in the mid-country. And if your cost of living on everything else is higher, including your housing, and if your income levels are not that much higher for the same jobs, you can't afford to live there. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited is a real estate investor and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for over 24 years. Our students have won local, state, and national awards as Real Estate Investor of the Year 8 of the last 8 years. Personal Real Estate Investor magazine has named us the best education and mentoring group in the United States. Our students own an astounding amount of single-family rental houses and apartment complexes. I'm Lynn Andres, host of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show and an investor in both single-family and multifamily properties. If you're ready to add some real estate to your portfolio, I've got your map. Come to the next workshop to claim your map to financial freedom. Go to getmymapnow.com and register for the next workshop in your area. That's getmymapnow.com.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about the incredible real estate market that we're living in right now, and we're talking about people making millions, if not tens of millions of dollars. You got to think about this. When the property values go up, when the rents go up by 10%, your property value goes up enough to have a 100% gain. Okay, think about what I'm saying. If you go out and buy a $1 million property, put $200,000 down, and your rents go up by 10%, the property value has gone up by $250,000, which is 100% return on your money. So a 6.6% rent gain. This is without fixing anything, changing anything, doing all the incredible stuff we teach you at Lifestyles to do to turn these things around and make them go up in value. This is just appreciation from rent growth. That's only one facet. There's 27 different things that I teach people to do to increase the value of their property. This is one of them. That leaves a whole lot more that can be done. And so what we're looking at here is we're looking at just phenomenal value increase for apartment complexes. Just try to take a typical example to come up with a rate of return. I'll just make this up here. If I had put $200,000 down on a $1 million property and the rents were $300,000 a year, we went up by 6%, that'd be $18,000 of increased rents would be equivalent to about $200,000 in gains, in value. Now remember, you only put $200,000 down. So that's like 100% gain on your money in 1 year without doing anything. Now, we're not gonna not do anything. We've got this other 26, 27 item list that we're gonna work on to improve the value ourselves, but that's just on the front end. Now, how widespread is this? The statistics I was reading from come directly from a subset of 10 million units. And the information was retrieved from a property management software company called RealPage, which is the largest software management company out there in the marketplace today. Now, the next interesting thing that comes out of all this, like I said, besides the fact that there's been rent growth for 10 years now, is this other part of the article discusses the result to date continues to show impressive depth of demand for apartments. Even with rising rents and record levels of new supply in markets all across the country. Now, let's think about this. There's rising rents, which should lower demand, and there's more new apartment complexes, which should lower demand because it spreads the demand out over more units. Neither headwind has proven to be as formidable as anticipated. As additional proof, resident turnover remains low. Now, you think about it. In the apartment industry, there's two factors. Well, there's actually three. There's occupancy, there's rental rates, and there's turnover. Now, you would think when you start raising your rents that tenants would start moving out on you. And that might typically be true. But it's not happening anymore because people can't find a new place to go to. Whereas, or in the past, if the rents got too high, they'd go, man, I might as well just buy a house. But they don't want to buy a house anymore. So what's happening is even though rents are skyrocketing, turnover is down. Yes, down. Occupancy is up. Rents are up. But turnover is down. It goes on and says, renewal retention rates, the share of expiring leases being renewed in May, came in at 51.2%, up 50 basis points year over year, making the 25th consecutive month with year-over-year growth in retention. 25th consecutive month. The average occupancy for a stabilized property, which includes lease-ups, tightens to 95.7%, both sourced from RealPage's lease-up transaction data. Both data points combined with the rent growth numbers show that stabilized properties are still not losing substantial number of renters to the large number of new apartment lease-ups out there. There it is, folks. I don't know how much better it could get than that. And it has this beautiful graph. Oh, what a beautiful graph. Rents going up, right? Retention rate going up. Occupancy going up. All beautiful, beautiful things. Very, very beautiful things. All right, moving on here. I got some more information, some more data that you're going to like. And that is in the political arena. Now, this is a local thing. This is local to Texas. But I think it's sort of sharing with you the headwinds of our society. We've been dominated by liberal politicians for so long, and people are starting to see the results of that type of liberal domination and unfair, unrealistic expectations that the poor can steal from the rich and that the poor can not have to follow the laws or enforce contracts. Well, there's a giant referendum on this stuff in the Texas legislature this year, and there were some incredible things that came out of it, okay, where the state finally just suspended certain rules, made other rules less tough, and completely eliminated some other stuff. So let me just give you a source of some of the stuff. It says the first thing that was changed was the source of income. In Austin, Texas, which if you're listening from Austin, you guys are wackazoids. You guys are Californians moved to Texas. And you're liberal. It's a liberal-based city. And so they want to do crazy liberal-based things, like requiring apartment complexes to take Section 8 housing. Now, they're calling it a referendum on whether or not you can make income a discriminatory factor. But it's not a discriminatory factor. If you don't have income and the government's willing to pay your rent, that doesn't mean that you qualify for income basis. You don't. The government is a pain in the butt to deal with. They change all the rules in rental. Section 8 housing tenants are almost always the scrape of the bottom of the barrel scumbags, and we don't want to deal with them. So this year they tried to pass a law where that you would have to accept Section 8 housing. Well, guess what? Austin, the city limits, passed it, but the state of Texas outlawed it for the rest of the state and even came back and said, you can't do it, Austin. Get off of it. You can't tell a landlord what to do with his property because he has the right to screen his tenants. And because the discriminatory practice you want to put into place is not part of the national discrimination acts. So you got to let it go. The next one is eviction appeals. One of the interesting things is that it's very easy to evict people in Texas. It takes 3 days, give them 3-day notice, and then you go to court in 10 days, and then they lose because you can't, there's no defense against non-payment in Texas, and then they give them 7 days to get out. Well, one of the things tenants used to do is try to appeal it, so take it to county court to override the Justice of the Peace Court. And so they would put down a fake bond, because the way it works is you got to pay the rent if you want to appeal. You can't just keep living there for free because you've been evicted. So they put down a fake bond. And then the bond turns out to be fake or whatever. And so now they've eliminated that and made it harder for people to appeal eviction. Wow, that's a wonderful thing. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Did you know that every dollar you put into a piece of real estate makes you money five ways? Cash flow, that is what we call passive income in your bank account each month. Equity capture, the thousands of dollars you create when you have the right team, the right property, and the right map. Equity buildup, that is when your renters pay off your mortgage each month. Appreciation, real estate doubles in value almost every 20 years. And finally, the tax advantage. We pay almost no taxes on our cash flow each month or on our capital gains. These are five of the reasons that real estate accounts for 70%+ of the millionaires in the world today. Attend one of our free workshops on real estate investing to find out how. Call 866-971-8970 or go to fivewayswemakemoney.com and register for the next available workshop. That's 866-971-8970 or go to fivewayswemakemoney.com.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. It's a wonderful day. Be a real estate investor. Our profits are up. Our rents are up. Our occupancy's up. Our retention's up. It's an incredible day to be a real estate investor. And now even the laws are starting to change in our favor, which is, you know, you've seen so many things go liberally left and so often in the past that it's so nice to see that some of this craziness is being, you know, reined back in, at least here in Texas. And I don't know, folks, I don't know where you live right now. Maybe you got some beautiful skies and some water, but I guarantee you with your property taxes and your liberal governments, your lives are miserable compared to living in Texas, my friend. And there's only two types of people out there, those born in Texas and those trying to get here. And I'm not from Texas, but I'll tell you what, after I got here, I never would have gone back to either of the two places I lived. I lived in St. Louis, where we're actually right outside of St. Louis, called Ferguson. I think you've all seen what Ferguson's like. And man, ungodly liberal bastion of insanity. And then I moved to Madison, Wisconsin. And you've seen that in the news a couple of years ago, where they're fighting on breaking the government with welfare packages for government workers and retirement pension plans that can't be paid. Another liberal bastion of insanity. And, you know, it's just a situation where it's just a whole lot easier to live and make money in Texas than it is anywhere else. And by the way, if you want to go vacation somewhere, go visit them. It's kind of like grandkids. I like grandkids a lot more than I like kids because they come, you enjoy them, then they leave. That's the same way with vacations. I don't mind going to liberal bastions and having a little bit of fun, enjoy myself, but then I want to come back home to the safe, secure, tax-free environment of Texas. The next thing that they ruled out was for years, since about the 90s, there's been a law that sliding glass doors have to have pin locks. And the reason for that is because in a sliding glass door, if you ever want to break into a house with a sliding glass door, all you have to do is lift the darn glass door out of the track and take it away. There really is no way to lock a glass door, sliding glass door. I mean, think about it. The worst case scenario, you slap a couple pieces of tape on it, hit it with a hammer, and boom, you're in. So it was ridiculous. Well, what happened was the newer and nicer sliding glass doors, which are actually secure, have more secure access and better weather stripping and so forth, with these double pane windows with air seal, had gotten to the point where you couldn't drill holes through them anymore. So this year they decided to change the law to where sliding glass doors can have clip locks again, which is what comes with them normally. So that's fine. And really, if you want to know the truth, the best way to lock a sliding glass door is to simply put a broomstick in the sliding area to where they cannot slide the door open. They can still lift the stupid thing out of the track, and there's almost nothing that can stop that particular situation. The next one is notice to vacate. Now, in Texas, it's real easy to evict, but you had to deliver the notice to vacate by either opening the door and taping it to the inside of the door, which seems weird. I don't know why they ever came up with that. Or knocking on the door, delivering it to somebody 16 years of age or older, or mailing it to them and getting a receipt on upon mailing. All of which work, but they changed it today, the laws, to where you can just post it on the outside of the door. Now, what I used to do, to be honest with you, is, and I've never had a problem with this, but I can't say because I'm not an attorney, and I know the law doesn't allow this or didn't until now. I used to just post it on the outside of the door and take a picture of it with a date next to it, like the newspaper date or whatever, and hold it up there and put it next to the notice, and I'd take a picture of it. So if I ever got to court and the guy said, well, I didn't get a notice, I said, well, here's a picture of it. I delivered it to your door. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I never ran into that. Now, I have ran into tenants saying, well, I never got any notice at all. And the judge would just laugh at them and go, then why are you here? Do you understand that? If the guy said, oh, I never got any notice at all, the judge would go, then why are you here if you never got a notice? And then at that point, the judge could tell the tenant's a liar and he's just trying to weasel his way out of the whole process. And then they'd evict him. It was so much fun. Evictions in Texas are so much fun. I used to go and take people with me on evictions on road trips. It's kind of a road trip. We take 20 or 30 people and sit in the court. And we just laugh. We just laugh at how stupid people are. The kind of people that don't pay their rent are just ignorant, stupid people. And I know this sounds painful and mean and unpolitically correct, but you've got to go to court and watch this stuff. I mean, it will blow your mind. And, you know, if you're one of those people, I'm sorry. Just don't act that way. Act like a real person, right? Pay your rent. Don't end up in court. And don't come to court dressed like a boom boom and speaking like a boom boom and get in front of the judge and wonder why you lose. You're losing because you're making a ridiculous presentation and you're in a court of law. And so you're going to lose even if you might not have lost otherwise. But the truth of the matter is, in eviction court, you probably deserve to lose. The next things that come up that are really interesting that I thought was that there were a bunch of bills to try to make it worse on people. One of which was there was a bill to say you couldn't fight your tax valuations, property tax valuations every year. And that one didn't pass. That got kicked out instantly. Screening prospective residents for criminal history. They wanted to make it so you couldn't screen it for screen criminals. And that got thrown out. They wanted to pass a law to protect themselves from a variety of lawsuits. That failed to pass. And a bill that would require builders to pre-fund special accounts for contractors. And that failed also. So a bunch of interesting stuff. 99.9% of it good for landlords. So it's really interesting that we're going in the right direction. All right, looks like we've got a call coming in here. Our number is 877-655-6755 if you'd like to call in. Holding now is David from Florida. David, how can we help you today?
Hey, how you doing, Dale?
Very good, sir.
You know, I've been listening to you for a while, and I wanted to see how you can help me because I have a situation where I have a property up north where I have no mortgage on it, and I'm going to use it as a credit line. And I wanted to buy at least a few multiple dwellings. How can you help me with that?
Well, be specifically more clear, David. How much is the house worth?
House is worth about $450.
Okay, excellent. Good amount of equity. That's great. Now, why do you not want to sell the house if you're not living there?
Well, I'm willing to sell it. It's just that I don't have the time.
Okay. My first recommendation would be to sell it because real estate far away, a single house like that, is not that good of a situation. Secondly, if you want to get the money out of it, why do you want a line of credit as opposed to just putting a mortgage on it?
Well, I want to do it quicker so I can at least do some deals with you.
Okay. Now, tell me what kind of deals you want to do. Give me an idea what kind of deals you want to do.
Well, I'm looking to do either between a 15 to a 30 or even a 50 unit if I can.
Okay, so an apartment deal.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it is possible to get a line of credit on the house. It is possible to get a mortgage on the house, and it is possible to sell them. Now, let's look at each of those three possibilities. If you sell them, you can 1031 the entire $450,000 into apartment complex and do really well for yourself. You're going to be able to buy almost $2 million worth of real estate. And at a 10 to 20% rate of return cash flow wise, you know, on a $400,000 investment, you're talking about $45,000 to $90,000 for $450,000 worth of investment. I mean, that's tax-free money, and that's almost retirement, David, for the average person. So that's a great step. Now, if you go put a line of credit on it, the problem with lines of credit is if you ever get into trouble with your credit, banks can call lines of credit. Dave Ramsey, have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, I heard of him.
Dave Ramsey went bankrupt because he went out and got lines of credit to buy real estate deals with. And then all of a sudden, he got in trouble on one set of all of this debt he had, and the bank started calling these lines of credit on him, one right after the other after the other. Now, my banks couldn't do that to me on my mortgages because they're not callable mortgages. They're long-term 30-year mortgage. And a mortgage company cannot just call your debt. A bank, however, can, and that's why I don't like lines of credit, is they're riskier. You can do it, but I'd rather see you put a long-term mortgage on there. Now, do you rent the house out, or is it just sitting up there, or what's it doing?
It's sitting up there. It's empty.
Okay. Then to me, you absolutely need to sell it, David, because think about this. The $450,000 is sitting there. If you put a mortgage on it or a line of credit on it, it's not earning you any money. You got to pay that debt back. If you sell it, all that money can be used to make you money. Looks like they're pushing it out. If you have more questions, hang on. I'll get you after the break. For the rest, you'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Get total freedom in your life safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about losing your job, working till you drop, or retiring in poverty. Hi, I'm Stephen Davis, and I've taught over 100,000 people in the last 24 years the principles of financial freedom through our radio shows and live one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about our real estate workshop that really takes it to a whole new level. It gets you on the inside of what we do and what we believe and unlocks the five ways we make money in real estate. Just like your personal trainer, we will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Just go to fivewayswemakemoney.com. That's fivewayswemakemoney.com to register for the workshop that will change your life and let you stop worrying about losing your job, working till you drop, or retiring in poverty.
Back to the last segment of Del Walmsley Radio Show. Holding through the break is David from Florida. David's looking to get into the multifamily business. He's got a large chunk of money stuck up in a house somewhere in the north. And we're discussing the options for him. And like I said, David, I think selling the house is probably your best option. Actually, another good thing right now about selling is it's a very good market to sell. So I'm leaning that way. What do you say? Are you still there, David? That looks like we lost him. All right. Moving on to the next email. Got an email here from Gary. It says, I have some great news. I leased out my house, my former personal dwelling, and the lady paid a year in advance. I have about $6,000 cash beyond what is required for the mortgage payments for the next 12 months. I am confused, though, about the tax situation. Do I have to pay taxes on the full amount of rent or just the amount cover the rent for the remainder of this year? Also, how would I show depreciation to not have to pay taxes on it? Okay, first of all, you only pay taxes on the rent you've earned. So what you're going to do is you're going to carry an account called prepaid rent. And each month you're going to take whatever the rental payment is and take it out of prepaid rent and put it into rental income. So on your income statement at the end of the year, you'll be showing the exact amount of rental income that you've earned. Now, the only caveat on that is if by chance the tenant broke the lease, skipped, and you kept the remainder of the rent, then you would have to show it as income all in this particular year. Now, as far as the depreciation goes, it's the same as any rental house. You're going to depreciate it on its book value, which is purchase price plus rehab, and that has to have nothing to do about the rent. Then it goes on and says, I'm also wondering if I should go ahead and buy a second rental house and use the cash flow from the prepaid rents to help with the down payment. I was planning on doing that after refinancing my first rental property. but I might step up the timeline if needed. That's a dangerous question. I could go either way on this. It depends on what is the rest of your financial wherewithal. Since that money is really prepaid rent and it's going to cover your mortgage payments, you're going to need those mortgage payments, that money there to pay those mortgage payments. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you're in Texas and you're good at what you do, if somebody doesn't pay you, you could get them out in advance. But the truth of the matter is, you couldn't evict them for non-payment because they've already paid. So you have no way to pay those mortgage payments if you spend that money. Thinking it through, the answer is 100%. You should not, I repeat, you should not use that money because you're going to need it. Now, you can set aside all the money for the mortgage payments and take the $6,000 and add that to any attempt to buy your next property, and I wouldn't have a problem with that. But I would not touch the mortgage payments. All right, let's see here. This one says, it's from Elena. It says, I'm a Lifestyles member. I'm interested in multifamily properties. I recently came across a listing for an apartment complex that has a LURA on it, which expires in 2 years. The current rents are extremely low, like more than $150 below even the market mandated maximums. The listing agent is telling me there's an opportunity to significantly raise rents now and in 2 years because they've been so low for a long time. Can you tell me if there's any gotchas? There's all kinds of gotchas on this. Elena, LURAs, which by the way is a land use arrangement with the state and with the federal government that allows you through the federal government to take tax credits against the construction of or the purchase of a property when you're willing to lock in low rental income rates for years. Now, most LURAs have a 10-year mandate, but still have a 27-year period of coverage. So if they say it's up in 2 years, you got to find out, is that the 27-year mandate or is that the 10-year mandate? Because the 10-year mandate is the period of time from 1 to 10 that you can take the tax credits. Now, if they're selling you the property post-tax credits, then you don't get any of the benefits of the tax credits each year, but you're stuck with all the land use agreements. And like I said, I've never seen one yet where the land use agreements fell off. I've seen many where they told me they'd fall off. I've never seen one where they will. So you're going to need legal help, deep real estate legal help to deal with this. Secondly, for the 2 years, it's still on there, even though it says it's off in 2 years. For the 2 years on there, you're going to have to do so much paperwork for the government that it's not worth even doing. For example, you're going to have to keep track of every single tenant you have on file and create reports for the state and the federal government showing exactly what each tenant is paying for rent and what their income is. And you have to prove them into an income structure and a rent structure that fits your LURA. So you may have 3-level LURA or a 4-level LURA, like where it says 50 to 60% of all your tenants have to be at 40% median income, and they can't pay a rent higher than 40% of median rent. And then 10, 20% might be at 50% of median rent, and another, the remainder might be allowed to be at median rent or above median rent. It's ridiculous concept. But what's worse is you've got to keep track of all that, and you've got to send them reports in. And I think it's monthly, it may be quarterly, but it's either monthly or quarterly. You got to send these reports in proving that you're not renting to, that you, the rent you are charging is not higher than what the LURA agrees to. So for at least 2 years, you would have to do that reporting. There's a possibility, like I said, that you're just coming out of the 10-year period, which is the tax credits period, and not really out of the 27-year period, in which case you'd be stuck doing that forever. So here in Texas, we found that the amount of rent you can charge a tenant in the LURA is and has been in the past not that much lower than market rents. But in the last 2 years, 3 years, when rents going up as rapidly as they have, I would tend to believe that the LURAs are holding the rents down very, very low compared to what you could get for market rent. And again, just like everything else, you've got the government looking over your shoulder. So if you do anything out of line, Big Brother's going to be right there to jump down your throat. So myself, I would suggest you do just like I have. I've looked at a lot of them. I've bought none of them. Well, it looks like we're coming to the end of another day. I want to tell you, though, this has been a wonderful, wonderful week. I see nothing but great things. I'm going tonight to an award ceremony for the Houston Apartment Association, and we've got our fingers crossed, but we're anticipating some wins again. 9 years in a row now, we've won awards at almost every single apartment association that we have members in and nationally. In fact, this year, we may have won more than that. So have a wonderful day, and remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've ever been taught so that you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us every Monday through Friday. Can't get enough? Visit LifestylesUnlimited.com. Click on the radio tab to listen to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Access past show podcasts and join the conversation. The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.
Ask any of the members or mentors here at Lifestyles Unlimited, the real estate education and mentoring group, and they'll tell you it's not how smart you are or how long and hard you work. It's whether you're on the right map to begin with. Can what you're doing take you to the financial position that you want to be in? I'm Lynn Andres, host of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Visit GetMyMapNow.com to meet some of our members who are on the right map and on the way to reaching their financial goals. Whether you just started thinking about investing in real estate or you consider yourself a seasoned pro, Lifestyles Unlimited provides the support necessary to take you to the next level. We are mentors that offer you guidance on every step of the real estate investing process, from single-family houses to 600-unit apartment complexes. Our members have done it all. They've won multiple Investor of the Year awards 8 of the last 8 years. Call 866-907-2085 or visit GetMyMapNow.com to begin or advance your real estate investing career today.